I want us to open our Bibles this evening in the book of Genesis, chapter number 19. The 19th chapter of the book of Genesis. We commence reading at the verse number 15. Verse number 15. Or rather, we'll start at verse number 12. That is verse number 12 of Genesis chapter 19. And then there's one little verse over in the book of Luke's Gospel that the Lord Jesus directs us to. And of course, the Lord speaks to our hearts even through the words of that little verse, which simply says, remember Lot's wife. But I want us to turn here, Genesis chapter 19, and let's follow the reading of God's precious and God's holy word. Verse number 12, And the man said unto Lot, hast thou here any besides sons-in-law, or thy sons, or thy daughters? And whatsoever thou hast in the city, bring them out of this place. For we will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxen great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord hath sent us to destroy it. And Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city, for he seemeth as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. And when the morning arose, then the angel hasted Lot, saying, arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. And while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand, and upon the hand of his wife, and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him. And they brought him forth and set him without the city. And it came to pass, when they were brought them forth abroad, that he said, escape for thy life. Look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. And Lot said unto them, O not so, my Lord. Behold, now thy servant hath found grace in thy sight. Thou hast magnified thy mercy, and thou hast showed unto me in saving my life. And I cannot escape to the mountain, lest some evil take me and I die. Behold, now this city is near to flee unto, and it is a little one. O, let me escape thither. Is it not a little one, and my soul shall live? And he said unto him, see, I have accepted thee concerning this thing also, that I will not overthrow this city for the which thou hast spoken. Haste thee, escape thither, for I cannot do anything till thou come hither. And therefore the name of that city was called Zoar. And the sun was risen upon the earth when Lot entered into Zoar. Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew their cities, and all the plain, and all the inhabitants of the cities, and that which grew upon the ground. But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. And we know that God will add his blessing to the reading of his precious word for the glory and the honor of a Savior's name. In Luke's Gospel, chapter 17 and verse 32, it says three simple words. Remember Lot's wife. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank and we praise thee for thy word this evening. Pray that, Lord, that you'll bless the words that our brother has been singing to us. And we thank thee for him and his life and his ministry. Oh God, I pray that thou will continue to bless him even in the days to come. And Lord, we commit ourselves to thee tonight. Help me to preach thy word. Help me, oh God, to earnestly proclaim the gospel. And Lord, may this night be a night of salvation, a night of restoration. O God, may thy people rejoice in what thou, the Lord, will do in this place. Hear and answer our prayers, for we pray in Jesus' name and for Jesus' sake. Amen. In that verse number 32, it's simply three words. Remember Lot's wife. Remember Lot's wife. Now, the story is found in the book of Genesis. That brings us to the place of remembrance, because the Holy Ghost has recorded what happened to Lot's wife in the 19th chapter of the book of Genesis. Now, the story is a story of a family, Lot and his wife and his family. And friend, it's a story of a tragic family.
It's a story of a family that has been wrecked by sin. Now, whenever it says, remember Lot's wife, it doesn't give her name, but we come to the one that is named, we come to Lot. And whenever we think about Lot's wife, we think, well, whose wife is she? And what do we know about Lot, about this man? Because the story of Lot is a tragic one as well. And I'll tell you why. Because the story of Lot is a story of a man who had a relationship with the Lord. A person who professed to know and to love the Lord, but he had got a problem. And the problem that Lot had was this, and it's a problem that many people, even that profess the name of Jesus Christ, have in this day in which we live, is this. He wanted the best of both worlds. And that was the problem that we find about him. He wanted a foot on in two camps. He wanted a relationship with God, friend. But on the other hand, he wanted the material possessions of the world. He wanted the position and the fame and the money and the influence, the things that so many seek after. But you know, Lot learned a very sad lesson, a very tragic lesson. And friend, it was told out in his family. Because a lesson that Lot learned was this: it's impossible to find God's blessing and to have the best of both worlds at the same time. You cannot walk down two roads at the same time. The Lord Jesus said, you cannot serve two masters. You cannot serve God and mammon. So what do we know about Lot? Well, Lot was reared amidst idolatry. He was born and reared away down there in the Ur of the Chaldees. His father was called Haran. And his grandfather was called Terah, and he had got an uncle, his father's brother, was called Abram. Now, as the story begins, we witness a young man, my friend, that has got a broken heart. And I'll tell you why the broken heart. Turn back to the book of Genesis chapter 11. Because as we come to the story of this young man, we find that he has a broken heart because death enters into the family circle and death takes a loved one away. And in chapter number 11, in the verse number 28, it says this, and Haran died before his father Terah in the land of his nativity in Ur of the Chaldees. And so we find that Lot, at a very early age, experienced what it was to lose his father. The bitter cup of death came into that family circle. And we find indeed that when we look at this chapter also, it tells us in verse number 32, and the days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah, that's his grandfather, died in Haran. And so we find that he has a broken heart because he has shed many tears because his father has been taken away. And then we find he was taken over, as it were, by his grandfather who looked after him. And then death came and took his grandfather away as well. My friend, let me tell you, death's an enemy. The Bible says the last enemy which shall be destroyed is death. And here for this family circle, death is an enemy and has taken Lot's father Haran and taken him away. And then we find that later on, we find that death comes again and takes his grandfather. And now we find that Lot is under the influence of Uncle Abraham. Now whenever his father dies, God speaks to Abram, and God says to Abram, I want you to leave your family, and I want you to leave your country, I want you to leave your kindred and your father's house, and I want you to go onto a land that I will show thee. Now, of course, Haran is dead, and we have got Abram, and God has called him. But you know, his father enters into the story because his father, Terah, he decides, well, listen, I'm going too. And so we find that father takes the leadership. Now God called Abram. God says, leave your father's house. But Terah says, no, you're not. I'm going too. And if you're going, well, I'm going to take you out there. And God says, I want you to go into a place that I'll show you. But you see, Tira had another idea. Tira says, well, listen, I'm going with you, and Lot, you're coming too, because I'm looking after you, and you're coming too. And so we find that Abram compromised with his father, and he allowed his father to dictate what he should do. Let me tell you, my friend, there are fathers that are barriers to their sons and their daughters getting saved, and I want to tell you, it's not right. It's not right. God forbid that you'd ever put a blockade in your child's life in obeying the will of God. And so we find that Tira says, no, I'm going to. And so we find that he did. And Tira led them, but listen, God says, I want you to go where I'll show you. And Tira came as far as Haran, and he says, no, we're stopping here. We're stopping here. But God didn't tell me to stop here, but I'm telling you to stop here. That's where we're staying. And so we find that this young man, the Abraham, he listened to what his father said. He did what his father did. And let me tell you, my friend, Abram never obeyed God completely until God took Tira out of the way. God took him out of the way. God says, old man, I've got to take you out of the way because you're a barrier to your child in doing the will of God. And friend, that's a fearful thing when God has to remove somebody out of the way. And God removed Tira out of the way. And now we find that there's Abram here, but he's got Lot. And Lot is under the influence of his uncle Abraham. But thank God, Abram's now walking the walk of faith. He's obeying God completely, and now Lot's under the godly influence of Abraham. And let me tell you, my friend, Lot comes into a relationship with God. He comes into a relationship with God. You say, how do I know? Well, because 2 Peter in the New Testament in the second chapter tells us that he was just Lot. It was righteous Lot. It says that there in verses 7 and 8 of chapter 2 of 2 Peter. And so therefore, Lot had a relationship with God. He started to walk with God. He turned his back on idolatry, and he has come to trust Abram's God. And so everything seems to be going on well. Friends, sad to say, Abram took a wrong turn. Abram went down to Egypt, and Lot went with him. And friends, let me tell you, something happened down there in Egypt. And my, they prospered numerically as far as the land, as far as their cattle was concerned, and as far as their animals were concerned, they were blessed, even down there in Egypt. But you know, that brought us problems. Go to chapter 13. And whenever you come to verse number 1, it says, Abram went up out of Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him, into the south. And Abram was very rich. He was very rich in cattle, in silver and gold. Look down at verse number 5. And Lot also, which went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents. God has blessed them. God has given them plenty, as it were. But friend, that brought us problems. And you know, one day there was an argument between Abraham's servants and Lot's servants, and they started to fall out together. And there was disunity and a disharmony amongst them. And you know, wealth brought its own problems. Strife among the herdsmen, verse number 7. And there was a strife between the herdsmen of Abram's cattle and the herdsmen of Lot's cattle. And of course, the Canaanites and the Perizzites dwelt then in the land, and they were happy. God's people fighting each other. And boy, the devil stands back and has a good old laugh. My friend, I want to tell you, we find here that Abraham, whom God had called and God had blessed and God had used, we find that Abram comes up with an answer to the problem. He says, listen, we be brethren. We shouldn't be fighting each other. You know, God was the one that said, listen, Abram, everywhere you put your foot, God says, I'll give it to you. God had given him a real covenant blessing. But he turns to his nephew, Lot, and he says, Lot, listen, I'm going to settle this argument. I want you to look out there, and I want you to look at the plain, and I want you to choose where you want. Listen, wherever you choose, go, and I'll take the other direction. If you go to the left hand, I'll go to the right. If you go to the north, I'll go to the south. Now, let me tell you, my friend, Abram didn't have to do that. But he wanted to settle the problem. He wanted the problem settled, and therefore he was willing to take the humble place. He didn't want the strife anymore. You know, whenever Lot heard that, and Lot looked out and he looked for the best property for himself. He didn't care about Uncle Abraham. He didn't care about what was going to happen to his uncle who was gracious to him. No, he looked out, friend, and he wanted the blessed land. Verse number 10 of chapter 13. Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plains of Jordan. It was well watered everywhere. It was as the garden of the Lord. He says, that's the place for me. That's the place for me. And the Bible says, if you look in verse 12, and Abram dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent toward Sodom. And now we find that Lot looks out, and he looks, what was best? Now let me tell you, my friend, it was as the garden of the Lord. It was a place for his cattle, yes, but it wasn't a place for his children. But he put his cattle before his children. And let me tell you, my friend, men and women, I tell you this, they put things before their precious souls. What did Jesus say? What should it profit a man even if he gained the whole world? And he lost his own soul, for what can a man give in exchange for his soul? Whenever Lot looked out and he saw those plains and he said, you know, that's the place for me. That's the place where I need to be. And friend, he saw differently than God did, because look at verse 13, chapter 13, it says this, but the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. And that's what God saw. He saw that the men of Sodom were wicked exceedingly. But Lot didn't mind. The Bible says he pitched his tent towards Sodom. In other words, he went as far as he could, close to Sodom. But it didn't end there. You see, we find that Lot makes a wrong decision. He makes a sad decision. And friend, they suffer the consequences of that decision is going to be told in his family. And we have Lot's story. It's the history of a backslider. A man that once knew the Lord. A man that once loved the Lord. A man that once had a relationship with the Lord. But now he's out of fellowship with God. He's ruling it by sight and not by faith. Maybe there's someone here tonight in this meeting. And friend, to be honest before God, there was a time when you had a relationship with God. There was a time you walked with God. There's a time that you were close to the Lord, but you're far off tonight. And my, you're not walking the walk of faith anymore. My, you're willing to compromise, and that's what Lot did. And Lot made a fateful decision that had repercussions for the rest of his days. And sad this, he paid the price in his family. He paid the price in his family. Now, the Bible tells us when you go to chapter 14, remember it says that he set his tent towards Sodom. Go to chapter 14 for a moment and let's just take another little look. And it says this, and they took Lot, Abram's brother's son, who dwelt in Sodom. You see, it started, he set his face towards it. And then the next thing we find that he moves closer. He's not happy enough to stay outside of Sodom. The Bible says he set up house in Sodom. And he dwelt in Sodom. And then go to chapter 19. And he takes a step further again, friend, because he's not even happy and content with that. It says, and there came, verse number 1, and there came two angels to Sodom at even, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. What did that mean, friend? It means that he became one of the establishment there. He became one of the elders there. He became one of the council directors there. He became a part of the authority there. Yes, he had just settled right in. He settled right in. You see, my friend, let me tell you this, child of God, you be very careful, because I can tell you, you know, there's, whenever it comes to backsliding, it just doesn't happen all of a sudden. It takes it step by step. And the devil wants to take you. He wants you to make a compromise here, and then he'll make you to make a compromise there. And friend, let me tell you, then it comes to the place that everything goes. It doesn't matter anymore. The things you used to stand for, you don't stand for them anymore. And the things you used to love, you don't love them anymore. Because you see, friend, you've gone away from God. And if there's someone here tonight, I want to warn you. There's a price to be paid for that backsliding. For the way the Word of God says, the way of the transgressor is hard. It's a hard road. It's a hard way. And so we find that, Lot is now sitting in the gate of Sodom. You might ask yourself the question, how could that happen? I remember some years ago, I went to record the first time in Nashville. I remember when I finished in the recording studios, I walked down, got into the car, and I went down into the center of Nashville. I started to walk around because I was looking at the different shops down there in the down in the town center. And as I was walking, I was praying because I hadn't the opportunity to talk to anybody about the Lord. And I was praying as I was walking down the street, and I said, oh God, please lead me to some person that I might talk to them about your son. And friend, as I was walking, just praying, walking down the footpath, the next thing I heard this voice say to me in a drunken accent, he said, are you a Christian? I saw an old man sitting at the side of the street, just sitting along the road, the street side. And as I saw him sitting there, I looked and I heard him say it again, are you a Christian? I said, yes, I am. You know, God was giving me the opportunity to talk to somebody about Christ. I walked over beside him and noticed he was sitting there in dirty, stinking clothes. The slabbers were running down his cheeks. He was full of alcohol. He looked at me and he said this in his drunken stupor. He says to me, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Friend, he knew the scriptures. I walked over beside him and I sat down. There was a little dog sitting beside him. I sat down beside him and I said, friend, you seem to know the scriptures. And friend, he started to cry. I said, sir, why are you crying? He said, I used to be a pastor in this town. I used to preach the gospel. But he said, I let sin and compromise get into my life. And he says, look at me now. He said, I lost my wife and I lost my family and I lost my house. I said, friend, where are you living? He says, I'm living in the down and out home. And he pointed me up the street for the down and outs. And friend, here was a man that used to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. He was sitting along the street of Nashville in filthy, dirty clothes and the tears running down his cheeks. And he could quote the scriptures of holy truth. But his heart had gone far from God. And he cried and he said, I used to preach this gospel. I said, you know, I'm a preacher. I'm here to record gospel music. And friend, the only friend that old dirty tramp had that day was a little dog. You see, sin will take you further than you want to go. Sin will keep you longer than you want to stay. And Lot found it, friend. Listen, sin will cost you far more than you ever wanted to pay. And you might think, my friend, that you can do this and you can do that and somehow that God will overlook it. That you can sin away that God will not remember it. But it says here in God's word, remember Lot's wife. Here we find Lot. And as we come to his story, friend, we'll find out, listen, he lived wasted years. If you live without the Lord, friend, you're living a wasted life. I remember one time I was ill before I was married, and I remember I was ill, and a lady came to see me. She was coming to the services here. She came to see me. And whenever she came to see me, she came down to the room where I was lying sick. We talked together for a little while, and then she threw herself at the side of the bed on her knees. She said, Mr. McRae, would you lead me to Jesus? I want to get saved. I led her to the Lord that night. Thank God she was gloriously saved. And after we read the scriptures together and I talked to her about the things of God and give her words of promise from the word of God, friend, she started to cry, very heartbroken. I said, what's wrong? I thought the old devil was attacking her with doubts and fears. This is what she said to me. She said, you know, preacher, my daughter died. And I didn't know to tell her that she needed Jesus. She said, my husband died, and I didn't know to tell him that he needed Jesus. And I look back over my life, and I realize I've lived wasted years. Friend, I asked you tonight, is that the way you're living? Will you look back over your life and regret? You've lived wasted years. God has blessed you. God has been good to you. God has been so gracious to you. And as we find in the story, let me tell you, friend, we find that Lot was far away from God now, sitting there in the gate of the city. Everything just seemed so good. And then God in mercy sent two angels, chapter 19. God sent two angels to Lot as he sat there in that city. And God said through those angels, we've got a message from God for you. Lot met them outside the gate of the city and said, we have a message from God for you. God's going to judge the city. And God says, get out of the city. You've got to get up and get out. You know, Lot listened to, but probably he didn't take it fully in. The men came into Lot's home that night, and let me tell you this. We find that indeed the men of the city of Sodom, they started to, as it were, knock down the door of Lot and said, give us those men that have come into your house. You know, Lot had so far backslidden. You know what he did? He said, I'll give you my daughters. I have two virgin daughters that have never known a man. And Lot offered his own daughters, his own girls, to those sinful, to satisfy the lusts of those sinful men. That's how far he got away from God. Yes, sin will take you further than you want to go. You know, friend, I'll tell you this. The Lord had to step in. And God stepped into the midst of that situation. And God smote them with blindness, those ungodly men. God smote them with blindness. And then it came to the morning. Look at verse. You know, the angels said unto Lot, hast thou any here beside? Have you got sons-in-law and sons or daughters? Bring them out of this place. Get them out of this hellhole. That's what it was. It was a den of iniquity. It was a place where sin abounded in every hand. He says, bring them out. Bring them out. Don't let them stay. You know, friend, the Bible tells us that Lot went out. It says there in verse number 14, he went and he spoke to his sons-in-law. He said, you know, God's going to judge this place. You know what his sons-in-law did? Laughed at him. They mocked him to the face. Do you know why? They said, you're the one that brought us here. You're telling us to get out? Who brought us? Who was the one that brought us to this iniquitous place? No. He said, you know, we love it here. And Lot's sons-in-law that were married to his daughters-in-law, the sin of Sodom got into their hearts. He said, we love it here. And they mocked him. The Bible says, verse 15, when the morning arose, the angel hissed at Lot, saying, arise, take thy wife and your two daughters which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. You say, friend, surely, after all this warning from the angel of God to Lot, surely he'll run as fast as his heels will carry him. Notice it says in verse 16, he lingered. He lingered. He didn't see the urgency. He lingered there. Do you know what the angels of God had to do? It says the men laid hold upon his hand and upon the hand of his wife and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto them, and brought him forth and set him without the city. They had to be dragged out of it, out of the city of Sodom. The Lord being merciful. Friend, the message that God was giving was clear. Verse number 17, and the angel says, escape for thy life. Run for your life. God's going to judge this city. Run for your life. neither stay thou in the plain, escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. You notice, the message from God, friend, wasn't sugar-coated. The men of God weren't speaking with velvet tongues. They said it as God gave it. Sad to say, we live in a day and an age when many of the preachers are trying to sugarcoat the gospel. I want to tell you this, friend. There's no way you can sugarcoat sin. There's no way you can sugarcoat hell. There's no way you can sugarcoat the judgment and the wrath of God will fall upon the sinner who dies without Jesus Christ. And the man told it, as God had given it, escape for thy life. Run from your life. Run for your life. Stay not in the plain. Look not behind you. Escape to the mountain. And you know, as Lot and the angels were going out of that city, the Bible says there in verse number 26, and his wife looked back from behind him. And she became a pillar of salt. And the Lord Jesus, when he was upon this earth, said this, these words, friend, remember Lot's wife. Engrave that in your memory tonight. Notice, the Holy Ghost, you can read the scriptures, it doesn't ever say, remember Abraham. Doesn't say, remember Isaac. Doesn't say, remember Jacob. Doesn't say, remember Ruth. Doesn't say, remember David. Doesn't say, remember Joshua. But Jesus says, remember Lot's wife. Remember her. Why did the Savior say that, friend? Because of three things. Notice Lot's wife's correction. She was faithfully warned. She was faithfully warned. She knew that God was coming in judgment. She knew that God had sent messengers right from himself. The angels of the Lord came. God sent the very angels of heaven to come to her and to bring a message from God. I have a message from God for you. She was faithfully warned, and yet she didn't listen. You remember that? You know, there are people in this meeting tonight, and let me tell you, some of you for nearly 50 years, you've been faithfully warned Sunday after Sunday. For down all of those years that God has given me breath, I've tried to tell men and women their need of the Lord Jesus Christ. I've tried to tell them a sin is sin. I've tried to tell them that there's a Savior in the Lord Jesus Christ, and there's only one way of salvation, and that's through the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son. You'll never make it to heaven your own, friend. And Sunday by Sunday, I've told you, sin, when it is finished, will bring forth death. It's not that you don't know. Yes, she was corrected. She was faithfully warned. I'll tell you something else. She knew the way of escape. Look at verse 17. Escape for thy life. Look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain. Escape to the mountain. It was clear. Escape to the mountain. She knew the way. And friend, there are people in this meeting tonight. It's not that you don't know the way of salvation. It's not that you don't know that Jesus Christ is the only Savior. But you're not saved. You're not saved. She knew the way of deliverance. I'll tell you something else. Verse 22. Haste thee, escape thither, for I cannot do anything till thou come hither. She knew the urgency of getting out of the city and to the mountain of safety. And friend, let me tell you, there's some of you know that you need to be saved. And you know that Jesus Christ alone saves. And you know, friend, let me tell you, God's word says, my spirit shall not always strive with man. And God says, today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. But you're still not saved. Ah, yes, she knew the urgency. But there's something else. She had been the subject of Abram's prayer. Abram had prayed for Lot and his family. Chapter 18. We find indeed in verse number 23. It says, and Abram drew near and said, wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Verse number 32. And he said, oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak yet but this once. Peradventure 10 shall be found there. And God says, I will not destroy it for 10's sake. Abram prayed for them. And friend, there are some people here. And you've sat on missions for years, and here's another gospel mission, friend. And God's people have prayed for you Sunday after Sunday. Your families have wept for you. Your mothers and your fathers have been brokenhearted over you. Your husbands and your wives, they've been praying that God would save their loved ones. It's not that you don't know. The Holy Ghost says, don't you ever forget this. With all that knowledge, with all those prayers. Let me tell you, friend, that mother's prayer has acted as a barrier to your soul to keep you out of hell. But there's people here tonight, and you've jumped over every barrier of a broken-hearted mother on bended knees on your way to get to your sin and to hell itself. Her counsel or her correction, she knew the way. Remember it. Then, secondly, notice her contempt. You see, God had said in that chapter 19, escape for thy life, look not behind you. But in verse 26 says, but his wife looked back from behind him. That was her contempt. Yes, no matter what God said, she looked back. I wondered, why did you do that? Why did you do it? Well, it was true that some of her family were there. Do you remember? She had sons-in-law. Remember those sons-in-law that mocked? They were married to Lot and his wife's children, daughters. And they only took two children with them, the two virgin children. And some of the family was still there. And she looked back. Perhaps she thought about her children. The judgment of God of her children. She wanted to be with her family. I remember talking to a lady one time about the things of God. She said to me, Mr. McRae, my husband's not saved. And she told me her story, and there are people here that know that story, and I'm not going into it, friend, but tragedy hit that woman's life. And her husband died, and her little one died as well. And she was left a widow without a child, without a loved one. As I sat in that home, she asked me the question, where is my husband? Friend, I'm not the decider of destinies, let me tell you, as a tree falls, so shall it lie. As a man liveth, so shall he die. But God gave that man opportunity. He knew the gospel. And God gave him opportunity. And I said, you know, no one knows what went on between your husband and God on that dying moment. And if he called to God, God had saved him, and thank God, then he'll be in heaven. He said, my husband's not saved, and of what you're preaching, preacher, that if you're not saved, you go to hell. And this is what she said to me. I never forgot it. And she says, if my husband's in hell, I want to go to hell too. And she sat in that seat and she was crying. And I sat in that seat across the living room and I was crying. And I said these words, my dear, I want to tell you this. There are no family reunions in hell. It's the blackness of darkness forever. Don't play around with the things of God, friend. It's too serious. And Lot's wife said, listen, I have daughters back. And she looked back. But there's something else. Her possessions were there. And that's where her heart was. Because whilst the Bible talked about just Lot, righteous Lot, it doesn't say just Lot's wife. It doesn't say righteous Lot's wife. It was a divided family. And her heart wasn't Sodom. She preferred Sodom. And friend, let's be honest. Let's not beat around the bush here. Do you know why you're not saved? Because you love your sin. You prefer your sin. You see, if you're to get saved tonight, you've got to repent of your sin. You've got to turn from your sin. You've got to turn away. There's got to be a change of heart and change of mind. You can't go on in your sin. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And you love your sin. But I want to tell you, friend, you see that sin that you're holding to your breast tonight and you love it? It'll damn you someday. It'll take you to the lowest hell. And I'll guarantee you, in the darkness of hell, you'll regret every day you sinned. And every act of your sinning. But she preferred Sodom. Very quickly, she presumed on God's mercy. You see, whilst she knew the truth, friend, she didn't think that God was going to do it that way. She thought that the angel was overstating it, where God wouldn't do that. And you know, there are men and women, they said to me, preacher, well, I don't like that kind of preaching because I don't believe that God would do that to me. God wouldn't send me to hell. Friend, ask Judas tonight if you could get him. Lift the trap door of hell and say, Judas, tell me, did God send you there? No, friend, listen. His sin took him there. And that's what your sin will do. It'll take you there. Past the mercy of God, past the cross of Christ, past the blood of Jesus, past the nail-printed hands and the nail-pierced feet. I want to tell you, your sin will take you past it all. Take you down to hell. Because sin, when it is finished, it'll bring forth death. Listen, she looked back. She says, I'll take the chance. Was it a big long look, friend? I don't know. Listen. Was it just one little glance? But the Holy Ghost says, remember. She looked back, and immediately God judged her. Maybe some of you tonight, you've sat on gospel meeting after gospel meeting, but you've said to your own soul, I'll take the chance. I'll live another day without Jesus. I'll come back to another meeting. Let me tell you, friend, God didn't promise you another meeting. God says, boast not thyself of tomorrow. But you have said, I'll come another time. Oh, you say, I don't want to go to hell, preacher. But some other day, some other place, she's prepared to take the chance. I'll get away with it. Do you think that you'll get away with your sin? Do you, friend? Do you think God means what he says and says what he means? Do you think God's just playing games here? God has given you a solemn book. It warns you about a day of judgment when man will stand before God, and those that die without the Lord Jesus Christ will go to a Christless, unending eternity, friend, to burn in hell forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. And there's no end. Her condemnation, that's the last thought. It was swift. Immediately. The word of God says in Proverbs 29, he that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed. And that without remedy, there's no coming back. You're not getting a second chance, friend. There's not a second run at this life. This is the only one you're getting. It's the only one run you have. And you know every second that's passing. And every day is passing. You're nearer eternity than ever before. Her judgment was swift. Her judgment was serious. She was swallowed up in the wrath of God. You know what the Bible says in Psalm 9? The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all nations that forget God. And there's no coming back because it was settled. You know, God says, remember. Remember Lot's wife. Are you saying tonight, well, preacher, I'll listen to all that, but I'll take my chance. And friend, you may. But this preacher's not sending you to hell. I pray that this message tonight that God has given me for this meeting will put such a barrier in your pathway that God will stop you from the damned. And that God will help you and give you grace to run tonight. Run to Jesus. Haste! Flee! Escape to the mountain! Skip to Calvary. Come to Christ and be saved. For whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Friend, what's it going to be? What's it going to be? You've got to make a choice. Two ways before you lie. and each a choice will make, one's upward to the sky and the other's downward to the lake. Will any choose that path of woe? Each soul will answer, yes or no. What's your answer today? Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, this has been a solemn place. Thy word has been preached. I thank you for help given in the ministry of it. I pray that by thy Holy Spirit that thou wilt write thy word upon the hearts of those that are gathered here. Lord, let not one play around with her soul. May this be the night of salvation. As our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, and God's people are praying, I wonder, is there someone here tonight before God? And God has challenged your soul about your need of Jesus. I need Jesus. I need the Savior. And in your heart, there's a cry, O Lamb of God, I come. Is there a backslider here? Listen. That story's a sad one. Because I'm going to tell you something else, friend. The last two daughters that came out with him, he lost them too. Because of his sin. You can't play with sin without getting burned. Be not deceived. God's not mocked. Is there someone tonight? Your sister will play that little verse, just as I am without one plea. And as we sing that little verse together, friend, and I want you to sing it with us. If there's a man, a woman, boy, girl in the service, you say, preacher, I'd love to be saved. I'd love to know Jesus as my Savior. Would you lead me to Christ? Friend, we're not here to embarrass anyone. But as we sing this little verse, every head bowed and every eye closed, and I'm here as the one that will give account for this gathering before God. The little inquiry room outside there would love to point you to Christ. We can go in the privacy of that and open up God's word and show you God's way of salvation. Will you indicate that desire, sinner or backslider? I need the Lord. O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am without one plea. God bless you, friend. Is there someone else tonight? Then in God's name, it's a solemn place. It's a solemn place you're in. You're in the very presence of God Almighty. And one day you're going to meet him. Will you trust him tonight? Is there someone else? Just as I am, waiting not the final verse. Just as I am and waiting not. Is there someone else? Would you just lift that hand, sinner, backslider? Preacher, point me to the Lord. Or point me back to him. Is there someone else in this gathering? Just lift that hand right now. O Lamb of God. O Lamb of God, I come. We're going to close with a word of prayer. We're going to ask our brother McKee to make his way down to the back and into the out into that little room, inquiry room there. And my precious soul, just slip out there as well. And friend, get it settled tonight. Get it settled. You say, I didn't raise my hand, but I'd love to come to Jesus, friend. Well, let me know about it. Please, don't go away without the Lord. Make it to Christ tonight. Heavenly Father, bless your word. Bring others to Jesus. save the lost, and restore the fallen. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Dear anxious soul, don't go away without the Lord. Come and speak to us. We'll gladly let me know on your way out, or speak to some of the friends here. But don't go away without the Lord. That inquiry room's just outside, just across there in the field, just outside the tent. We'll show you from God's word how you can know Jesus and be sure you're right with God. Amen.